You're listening to The Art of the Time. I'm Pete Lesprince. And I'm Tim, folks. Good evening. We have a good show for you tonight. It'll be real interesting for a lot of you folks out there. It might be not so interesting to some of you, but I suggest you listen anyway because it might come in handy later. Yes, that's a good song of the Magnificent Seven. And with that song in mind and looking back, it's just like riding your horse across the prairie and just flowing along. And that's what our story is going to be about tonight, folks. Camping out horseback style, Western style, using a horse and mule. Now, to some of you folks, it might not be interesting, but others that have called me and asked me what to do, reference that situation, I'm going to give you some advice. Okay. If you folks like to go out camping and you want to carry more of a load than what you want to put on your back, a lot of us out here, we go out camping horseback. You can carry a load with you on your animal, or you can have another animal with you and use your pack saddle, and you can carry quite a bit more items with you to get back into the backcountry, which is a lot of fun. Myself here, I've helped a lot of people in their supplies when they go out hunting, and different tents that they use. They want to use a bigger tent, which is very difficult to put on your back when the tent alone weighs 48 pounds. So they go out and they have a pack horse, and they carry a load with them. Now, most of you see on TV a horse that carry a lot of loads and run all day and run all night and keep going. Well, that isn't true. If you have an animal, you have to take care of that animal as much as you take care of yourself. You have to get him or her physically fit, horse and mule, and keep them that way. Daily exercise, working with them, leading them around, just messing with them, currying them, that means cleaning them. There's some of these terms, folks, that you might not be familiar with, but I will get back to them later, and so that you'll know what I'm talking about. So the more that you mess around with your animal and exercise them, walking down the road or whatever, the more that horse is going to be used to you. He's going to be used to your scent, and the more comfortable he's going to be. And if you're going to use your animal as a pack animal, you want to keep your load evenly packed on either side so you don't create a sore under the pack saddle or the breastplate and breeching. Now, your breastplate is the breast strap that goes around the front of the horse's chest. The breeching in the rear goes across the horse's rump that attaches to the front part of the saddle. And that way, if you're going up or downhill, your saddle won't have a tendency to slide either too far forward or too far to the rear with a load. It'll keep it more in place, and you keep it adjusted. Another thing you want to do is make sure that all your equipment is in real good shape, that you keep it oiled with neatsfoot oil. Neatsfoot oil is the oil that comes out of sheepskin, and it's a pure oil, and it keeps your leather equipment in good usable condition without getting it stiff, and when water hits it and sweat from your animal, it doesn't get hard and brittle. So you want to take care of your animal, you want to take care of your equipment. You want to keep your horse and mule's feet in good shape. Back east they call them a furrier, out here they call them a horseshoer. You want to make sure that your horse's feet are in good condition at all times. We've talked about that, about keeping your own feet in good condition when you're out hiking with good boots and socks. So you keep your horse's feet in good condition the same way. Keeping them in physical condition when you're out riding them. Necessarily, you don't have to run a horse all the time. Just walking a few hours every day will keep your horse in good physical condition and keep good wind on him, like I'm running out of breath now. So anyway, work with your animal and check your equipment. Make sure you got good equipment. Myself, I do quite a bit of riding, and every couple of years, I take my old leather cinch straps. And this is the strap, ladies and gentlemen, that you tighten up around your horse to keep your saddle in position. Due to the sweat and cleaning them, they do get stressed. I just change mine every couple of years, and that way I won't have any problems later on with them breaking. A few years ago, my son and I helped a friend of ours in the Blue Area here in Arizona pack an elk out. And that was quite a chore. And he was a good 4-point bull elk. And this friend of mine had shot him, and we couldn't get no vehicles. There's no roads down into the canyon. So we used our horses that we rode down in there. We got the elk out by using a travoy. And some of you in the movies have seen the Indians packing all their gear on two poles behind a horse that are tied together, and then they usually use a buffalo hide in the middle of it, so they packed all their gear on it, and that way they used the horse to do their packing and carrying their equipment from one hunting ground to the other. So anyway, we used that method to get the elk out to the bottom of the canyon, and then come on up, we just loaded the bull elk onto my horse and came on out. A lot of people said it can't be done, but we did it, and we got pictures of it. But my animals are always kept in good physical condition because we use them for hunting and working cattle and whatever. So you have to do the same with your animal. You don't have to work cattle or whatever, but keep them in good physical condition. Watch what they eat, keep them on a good diet, and make sure that from time to time they have their medicine to take the worms out of their system. And they get those from the hay and the grain and weevils and such that are in the grain. So the equipment that you can carry on your animal is much like on your backpack that we've talked about before. And my backpack weighs 47 pounds with a sleeping bag and no tent. But on the horse rig that I have, and I'll give you some references later, so I hope you have a pen and paper with you, because I'll be giving you some numbers to call for free catalogs on equipment. And I can carry my tent. I'm carrying approximately 58 pounds worth of equipment on my horse by himself. My saddle bags, for instance, are the heavy leather ones. And I'm carrying just about 10 pounds of equipment in them saddle bags, such as a folding canteen or a folding cup, troughs and fuel, fire starter, knife, fork, and spoon set, matches, survival blanket, knife sharpener, a canvas wash basin, a camp saw, a flashlight, a candle lantern, my water tabs naturally, some cold medicine, Rolaids for indigestion, fencing pliers, wire, and a hoof pick. Hoof pick, ladies and gentlemen, on the bottom of a horse's hoof, if they're walking in stones and everything, you want to make sure that you stop every once in a while, and in rocks, and stop every once in a while, lift up their feet, and clean out the bottom of their foot, which they call the frog area, which is the start, the center, or the heart of a horse's hoof. You want to keep that cleaned out. You don't want to get anything lodged up in there because it will cause a sore. And also you can get what they call a stone bruise. You want to take the first aid kit with you, naturally your TP, an extra pair of socks, and you want to take a sponge with you for your horse. Now you say, why do you want a sponge? Well, if you get to an area where you have some water and he's perspiring quite a bit, and some of you on the TV have seen horses with that white foam on them, you want to wash that off, because as it dries and they sweat up again, it could cause chafing and could cause a sore, which you don't want to have a sore on your animal, because then you're going to start running into problems. So bear that in mind. And when you're out riding your animal to start working them for endurance, do like the cavalry used to do. They didn't ride all day. They did some walking too. They'd ride approximately 45 minutes and walk 15 to give that horse a break and to kind of relieve him of any stress that he might have. So therefore, you want to take care of that animal. So give him a break. You'll also give your legs a break, and some of you will give your another area of your body a break. So another thing you want to do, Western boots are fashionable, but Western boots with a walking heel are more practical than the real long tapered Western heel that you usually see in the movies. For instance, if you have a problem with your horse, he goes lame a little bit or whatever, and you have to get off and walk, it's kind of hard in them little narrow heel boots to walk into rocks and clay and everything else. Whereas if you had the walking heel on your boots, it works out real well. I've had to do this in the past on some long rides and hunts, and a horse will get a little bit lame or stove up, so you have to give them a break, and that little relief that you give them by walking, 9 times out of 10 will cure the problem. And you want to check their feet at the same time. I have some information here, if you have your pencil and paper ready. One of the suppliers I use is Jeffers, and they'll send you out a free catalog if you call 1-800-533-3377. These folks are in West Plains, Missouri, and they'll take real good care of your phone order or answer any questions they have, you might have, on products in their catalog. They're very knowledgeable people. I've dealt with them on and off for the last, probably 11 years. One thing that they do have on page 65 of their catalog, if you want to mark that down, is a Super Trail Pack. It's constructed of 1,000 denier Cordura nylon, has 2 11 by 11 by 5 side pockets or bags, and there's zipper, and they have a hook loop closure to them. And then they have these side buckles to go on to attach to the rear part of your saddle or girth. Then they have a large pouch that goes across the back of your saddle or the cantle that measures 20 inches long, 8.5 inches wide by 11. This is similar to the unit that I use myself. Mine is in red, unfortunately, but they do make them in brown, black, orange, and tan. The reason I've had red and orange in the past is because when we've been out hunting horseback during hunting season, some of the other hunters can see that my horse was not an elk or a deer by wearing red and orange on that animal. But I will be making some changes because when I'm out camping, I like the darker colors. So anyway, that's one of the items they have. They have all kinds of supplies. Their catalog is approximately 158 pages big of different supplies, not only for horses, but for dogs and what have you. If you're in a group that has horses and you're out, this is where your pack horse would come in handy. And some of the supplies that you want to carry within a group would be a rasp, or as some people would call it, as a coarse file. In case one of your horses throws a shoe, you can keep the bottom and the sides of that hoof trimmed so you don't have any break-offs. Another thing is a nippers. What it is like a large tile cutter hand grip that you can trim your horse's hoof with. Figure a large nail clipper for some of you that wouldn't know what a nippers is. A horse's hoof is made out of the same material as your fingernails are, only there's more of it in mass and it's a little bit harder. And you want to carry some leg bandages with you, a hoof knife in case you have to trim the center frog of the foot. You also can carry your larger tent with you. The pack saddle with its panel ears on it. I forgot my one book, which I shouldn't have done, but I ran off and left it. But your panel ears for your pack saddle are approximately 36 inches wide, 36 inches deep, and they measure out probably 10 inches in depth that they'll expand out. You can put a lot of items in there. And then you put your tent on the center of the X frame of the pack saddle. State Supply in New Hampshire, I don't have their number because that's the book I forgot. They also listed a pack set that you can throw over a saddle and have that amount of space. So if you're just walking your animal and you got all your camping gear in it, and you're going up in steep places, you can carry all your gear with you. And that way later on, if you want to ride your horse, and after you have your base camp up, you still can go riding. So you got two purposes there. And they're in New Hampshire. They have a 1-800 number, but I don't have it with me. Another one that you might want to jot down is Wise Equine Supply. And they're 1-800-869-4373. They're also in Eldon, Missouri, and that is 1-800-869-4373. Another company is American Livestock Supply, 1-800-356-0700, 1-800-356-0700. All three of these companies have different equipment that you might want to look for, medicines, cut and heal, that you want to keep with you in a small bottle. This stuff, ladies and gentlemen, is a good medicine to put on a horse or a mule when they get cut. Now, some of the things that the individual wants to carry with them would be a brush, curry comb, hoof pick. You want to carry some copper rivets with you. You can buy a little box of assorted sizes for about $3. These here copper rivets, in case you have any of your equipment break, which would be leather or nylon, you can use these copper rivets to mend your brake. You want to carry a good set of hobbles with you. You want to put on the front feet of your animal rather than to tie them up, and they can graze and they'll just hop around and they won't run off on you, hopefully. You want to carry a spare pair of boots. You want a good halter, lead rope, sponge, fencing pliers, and a good knife with you. So those are some of the things that you'll need for the individual. And they really don't weigh that much, ladies and gentlemen. Like I say, the unit I have weighs approximately 58 pounds, if I remember right, on what I weighed. And then the saddlebags themselves, which I carry to the front, weigh another 10 pounds. And don't forget your body weight. Some of the things that you want to carry with you that you don't want to get wet, bandages, your toilet paper, and so on. Don't forget to use bread bags. Put these items in bread bags. Put them in your saddle bags or in your large pack carrier, as I was talking about earlier. And if it rains or you do get wet, a lot of those items will be saved and they'll be useful to you. One of the pack saddle carriers that I use is made by Jerry's Outdoor Sports Company in Denver, Colorado. You can write them or look up information and give them a call. And it is a good unit, is what I've been using. So those are some of the things that you can carry with you when you're camping outside and you want to use a horse, whether you ride the horse or you just lead them along. Some people don't care to ride, but they want to get further into the backcountry and carry more of a load and carry a bigger tent with their family and this, that. And we see people do this out here in our Apache Sitgrave Mountains all the time in the summer. And they just go rent a horse and just go packing out. There's places out here where they do that. So it's a lot of fun. There's books available that you can get on outfitting, is what they call it. Packing out with horses, backwoods camping makes some reference to that. So there's a lot of information in your library, at your local hunting store. They can give you information as to different outfitters in the country. And they could probably give you more advice if you want to get more detailed in it. And if you want more information, you can call me during the day at 602-337-2975. And if you have any more questions on this subject, I can try to help you the best I can. Some of the food items that are in our catalog of surplus and stuff that Bill has, such as the camper pack, which is a three-day supply for four people, is retail at $91. He has it in the catalog at $81. Now listen to what's in this, folks. You have these are all number 12 or number 2.5 size cans, and you have apple flavored drink, applesauce, rolled oats, fruit mix, mountain stew, stroganoff, Spanish rice, one vegetable noodle soup, a salad blend, a soup and stew blend, one egg mix, and one can of Yukon biscuits. That sounds pretty good already. Now you have another one called the Ready to Go Kit, and it's a six-day supply for four people. And you have two milk, one rolled oats, one egg mix, one banana slice, two biscuits, one cheese blend, one apple-flavored drink, two mountain stew, one stroganoff, a macaroni and cheese, a Spanish-style rice, a vegetable noodle soup, sliced peaches, applesauce, fruit mix, one peas, one carrots diced, one green beans, a salad blend, a peanut butter powder. You have lids, measuring cup, and a can opener. And that's 23 cans of 2.5 size, weighs 25 pounds. You need 11 gallons of water, and that's on sale at $172. The camper pack I told you about previously is 12 2.5 size cans weighs 13 pounds, and recommended water is 7.5 gallons. So when you're out camping, you'll be carrying some water with you. You'll be by a stream or what have you. So I would advise buying these here ready-to-go kit or the camper pack, either one, and try it when you go out camping next. The cans are small compared to the number 10 cans. They'd be easy to pack along, and at the same time, you'd be getting used to using this dehydrated food. I have tried the stroganoff myself and the Mountain Stew, and they are real good. Some people in our group when we went out camping thought that they were going to have eating at the Hilton, but we were just out camping, and I thought it was real good. Or you can carry some of your MREs with you or whatever. Don't forget to carry your water purification tablets with you. And the Katadyn water system is a good one for pure water. So if you have any questions, like I say, just give me a call at 602-337-2975. And if you want to order any of the two food packs that I just told you about, the ready-to-go kit for $172 or the camper pack at $81, just send a check to Annie, A-N-N-I-E. Send it to the Intelligence Service, Post Office Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. I'll mention this later on in the program again. And you can start a good camping trip because the weather's starting to change out here especially. And it's going to be camping and hiking season. And I hope all of you get out there and start exercising, get yourself in shape, and have a good season of camping and hiking. I don't think there's anything in the world like it. Getting out in the outdoors and the fresh air, getting away from the hustle and bustle of the city, looking under the stars out here in Arizona. It's real clear. It's bright. I just love it. I can't say enough about it. Myself, I can't get enough of going out camping and riding and such, and just helping others. Another thing you want to do with your horses, people in the lower country down here in Phoenix come up here in the mountains with their horses, and there's a drastic change of altitude. You're about 1,000 foot above sea level, I believe, in the Phoenix area or what have you. But up here where we're at, it's 56 to 7,500. In some places, you're up to an 8,500 foot elevation. So you want to get your horses conditioned for the altitude, just like yourself. You just can't bring a horse up and then start working him to death and expect him to function, because he's going to run short of breath like I am. So get your horse used to the different areas. Get him used to packing a load, carrying a load, taking care of him. Show some interest in him, because most horses can sense affection just like you and I can. So if you take care of them, they'll take care of you. And I've been riding for dang near 40 years now, and I've been into a lot of tight situations on horses, and they've come through many, many times for me. So with that, we'll give you a little bit more music, folks. Thank you. is that that song, folks, some of you might recognize it, is called the How the West Was Won. And indeed, the problems they ran into when they were winning the West, you bet. But one thing, they worked their animals hard. They had a hard day's work. But one thing they always had with them was something to barter and trade with. Whether it was extra food, cattle, gold or silver. These things that they could trade and barter with kept them alive moving across the plains. Working hard and working at it. And without gold or silver or something to barter with, they were in real trouble, folks. So, with the times that are happening or coming up, you want to change some of those FRNs into gold or silver with the help of Swiss America. Swiss America has been around. They've helped a lot of people, helped a lot of friends, including myself, establish a portfolio. Just tell them what you want to do. They're friendly folks down there. And remember, the pioneers and settlers didn't have much, but they always tried to retain a little gold and silver tucked away in that little leather pouch. And when they got to a town, they'd dig it out, and they were able to buy enough supplies to keep going. And that's what we're going to be doing later on. We're going to be needing supplies to keep going for what's coming. So take a little bit of those FRNs that you think you can't do without and turn them into gold or silver or what have you. Talk to the folks at Swiss America, Gene Miller, Craig Smith, and they'll be glad to help you in any way they can. So give Swiss America a call at 1-800-BUY-COIN or 1-800-289-2646. I'm sure they'll help you in any way you can. So those folks are real great, and just remember how the West was won and how our country was won and how it stabilized itself in the early days, whether it was in the revolutionary time or the pioneer time, crossing the great vast America. They always had gold and silver. So keep that in mind. Swiss America, 1-800-BUY-COIN. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be opening up the phone lines to the subject matter of tonight, which would be camping in the outdoors with your favorite animal. And the phone number to call is 602-337-2524, and we can trade some information, and we'll stick to this information only. And like I say, if you want to call, 602-337-2524, and we're opening up the phone lines to callers. One thing when you're out in the outdoors, don't forget and take your sunblock with you. As you get up in elevation, hiking and camping, you don't realize the intensity and the thinner air of the sun rays. So bring your sunblock with you and keep it with you. It will help you, even in the wintertime. So you don't want to get real sunburn out there because it'll spoil your party.
Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
And don't forget, folks, when you call in, make sure that your radio is turned down or turn it off so we don't have any background. Like I said before, also use bread bags to put your important stuff in and your TP to keep some of those things dry, your bandages and such. It's a great help, and it don't cost you nothing.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, really enjoy your program about horses. Makes a lot of sense.
Okay, how can I help you?
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, horses and also mules and donkeys are a good way to go. Lots of people out here in southeastern Oklahoma are going on trail rides, camping, this sort of thing, and learning the care of horses for survival situations.
It's a great feeling to be out there with them, isn't it?
It is. It really is. And also I wanted to encourage anybody listening that, you know, this idea of keeping gold and silver is really important for all of us to keep in mind. It's the only real money we have. Federal Reserve notes are an empty promise.
Well, that's true.
Hey, I'm going to get off the air and let some other people talk, but we really appreciate you out here.
Okay, thank you kindly.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you. The phone number, folks, is 602-337-2524. So if you want to call in and exchange any information, go ahead. One thing you want to take with you also for a little light is a little candle lantern, your wind and weather matches really help. For instance, getting your campfires going. Also, you can use a little trioxin fuel if you want to get a bigger fire going. You don't need a bigger, real large campfire to keep warm either, folks.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. I've only got to catch part of your program. I hope you haven't already covered this. I was just wondering, do you pack in grain when you go in to the mountains like that?
You can pack in a certain amount of grain, but sometimes if you're out on an extended ride, you're going to run out. So wherever you're at, your horses still can eat grass and just give them a longer resting period.
So mainly you just graze them when you go off on a long excursion with them then?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, I was just curious about that.
All right. Anything else I can help you with?
Oh, that's got me right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
The phone number, folks, is 602-337-2524. Remember, we were saying about a campfire. You don't need a large campfire to keep you warm. The smaller the campfire, the better.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi there. I think it was you who said you or somebody else about 2 months ago on how to store grain in large 5-gallon buckets with bay leaves on top, or you said somebody said some people use spearmint leaves also?
That's correct.
Okay, what was on the bottom of that? Was there
salt.
Salt?
Plain table salt. A lot of your pioneers stored their grains the same way to prevent weevils and bugs from spoiling the grains.
Mm-hmm. Will they sprout after 5 years or whatever?
Well, the grains that you're using are edible grains, not the seeding type.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And about how many inches?
I'll put about 2 inches of salt in the bottom. An inch will suffice, but two is a little bit better, because if you get any meats when you're out hunting, you also can pack your meat in the salt to help preserve it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm vegetarian, but anyway. And it doesn't matter whether it's iodized or not?
You want to use plain salt where you can on those items. If you put iodized salt on meat and stuff, it'll cause it to blister and bubble a little bit. So just use your regular table salt. If you're using iodized salt in your grains, mark it iodized because, yes, you will need a little iodized for your own system.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And I just want to pass on information I think is real vital for any radiation exposure. I've heard this from different sources, a lot of different sources that I've come across on how to combat radiation so you don't absorb radiation. and I found five things, well, actually four things. First one is algin, which is in kelp. Second thing is superoxide dismutase, or SOD, just think sod, superoxide dismutase, apple pectin, and potassium iodide.
Okay, you can find that where at your health food centers?
Yeah, the algin and kelp I've been able to find, the apple pectin and the superoxide dismutase, and the potassium iodide I haven't really searched for, but I've heard that's about the best thing available.
All right, thank you very kindly.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Now that's a helpful hint. Also, if you're feeding grain out in the field too and grazing, try and give your horse a little salt along the way. It'll help him drink more water, and which will create him to sweat and absorb more water into his system to keep him going so they don't dehydrate, because a horse can dehydrate as well as a human being, folks. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing there, Jim?
Hi.
I had a question for you about the about a saddle rifle. Do you have a brand that you recommend? I'm not familiar with the saddle harness or whatever for a rifle, you know, like a lever action rifle, a Marlin or something.
Well, it doesn't have to be a lever action.
Well, I have one.
Oh, well, that's fine, but it doesn't have to be. You can carry any type. They make saddle scabbards for bolt action, semi-automatics.
Oh, do they?
Lever actions, yes, they do.
Do you have a brand that you recommend? Sure, there's a quality difference.
Well, Hunter is a good brand. Triple K is a good brand. There are several out there if you go looking, and you can find good quality out there.
One other question regarding the lever action, then I'll let you go. It kind of goes hand in hand with the cavalry. I have a lever action that has a sling loops, you know, sling loops on it,
mm-hmm.
And it seems like a lot of lever action rifles don't have a sling, don't use a sling. The sling gets in the way of the lever, you know, when you chuck it. Do you have any thoughts on that, on a sling with a lever action thing, since it is kind of a horse?
Well, when you're carrying a lever action with a sling on it, horseback, take the sling off, put it in your saddlebag, or put it around your waist and use it for another waist belt. And if you're off your horse and walking, you can take it off and then sling your rifle on your shoulder.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, folks, another thing you can remember, during World War II, they used horses and mules in Burma to pack a lot of supplies up and down the roads there. Also, the military made a special scabbard for an M1 Grand. They're kind of hard to find. I have a couple. And they were designed to be carried on mules. And they also adapted them to be carried on the side of a Jeep. So that's how far our military has used horses, is up into through World War II. The German Army used horses and mules to carry a lot of loads in the heavy snows when they couldn't get vehicles across. So if you're listening to what I'm advising you of, you can see the advantages of knowing a little bit and caring about horses, even if you've never been around one. Get a book, learn. You might run into one sometime. So if you want to call for information, call 602-337-2524. And on the dehydrated food that I advised you about, the ready-to-go kit or the camper pack, you can send a check to Annie, A-N-N-I-E, to the Intelligence Service, P.O. Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. And the ready-to-go pack, which was the six-day supplies, $172. The camper pack is $81, three-day supply. And if you want a copy of the catalog of surplus and stuff, just send me $2 to Surplus and Stuff, P.O. Box 3300-3300, St. John's, Arizona, 85936, and we'd be happy to get a catalog out to you folks.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I appreciate your program. I'm John calling from Houston.
Okay, John.
Hi. I was wondering, have you ever heard of using steel wool and 9-volt battery to start a fire?
Yes.
And does it work?
Yes.
All right.
You also can use that with a car battery.
Okay, car battery also. Someone told me about that, but I hadn't tried it
What happens when you ground out the bottom of the 9-volt battery with your wire to the positive and ground it out on the bottom, and you hit the two wires? What happens?
Sparks.
All right. What does a magnesium fire starter do?
Yeah, same thing.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Enjoy your program.
You're quite welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, if you have anything to add to what we're talking about tonight, pertaining to camping out in the great outdoors because the season's coming up, just give us a call at 602-337-2524.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, I had a question.
Go ahead.
I would be a rookie at buying a horse and a saddle, and I was wondering what to expect to pay.
On horses, depending on what's out there, you can buy great horses from anywhere from $300 to $500-$600. Saddles will run anywhere from $200 to several thousand dollars, depending on what your interest is. Do you know anybody that's had horses or had anything to do with them?
Right. Yeah, I sure did.
Okay. Well, they can give you a hand, depending where you are in the country. There's sales on livestock sales all over the country. Have a vet check one out. There's usually a vet at any of the cattle and horse auctions. And they'll be glad to check one out for a few dollars to see if he's a good sound horse, has good legs and such. And they just can help you out that way. You can go to your local feed store or saddle shop, and they can show you a variety of saddles, from handmade saddles to stamp-made saddles. And there's a lot of good ones there. It just depends on what you want to spend, sir.
And what would how much ground should I expect to need to take care of a horse than if I had one?
Well, if you had one, here again, depending on the part of the country you're in, how much grass was grown just to let him exercise. But you could exercise 1 1/4 acre. They would be in a stall and you bring him in to feed him and such. They just need a little exercise room, more than just a standing stall of maybe 4 foot wide, 10 foot long. Give them a little room to lay down in, and that they got a little pen where they can run a little bit. And then it's up to you to either ride them up and down the roads around your home, or get a trailer and trailer them out and go out into the forest preserves or what have you.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Okay. There's another thing, folks, that I want to advise you out. A company by the name of Davis. They make the ultimate sport boot. This here is a boot that fastens with Velcro around the horse's leg from the hoof up. And if you're in a lot of stressful country where you're doing a lot of climbing with your horse up and down hills or whatever, it's wise to have one. It helps from bowing a tendon. A bow tendon, ladies and gentlemen, similar to twisting an ankle, or if you step off the curb the wrong way, you pop your ankle out, and it takes a little while and it's sore to step on for a few days. Well, that's similar to a bow tendon. This here will help prevent that problem. And if you do have that problem, put it on, it will support the ankle and the foreleg of that animal.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. How can I help you?
Well, I two things. One is real helpful information regarding, I've heard tonight regarding horses. I don't have one, but I'm in New York, and we've got neighbors who do, and really been thinking about it. One of the things I wanted to mention to you, I think you mentioned the use of horses in World War II and mules. They were used rather extensively in parts of Europe. My father was in Italy, and they used mules rather extensively to move virtually all the stuff through the mountains and such over there.
This is true. I do believe that one of Patton's divisions or something used them going over the mountains and carried a lot of ammunition and mortars and such.
Not only patents, but going up through the mountains and up through Casino and such was very common, and there were mulers assigned as part of the army, and I guess they may have used a local Italian mules now, but very common during the war, during World War II, and in a lot of the, particularly in the mountainous areas where the terrain is really, really rough, they seem to come through and were able to carry quite a bit, and in any case, so it's not so long ago.
Well, that's true. Like I said before, if you take care of an animal and show them a little affection, they'll go the distance for you.
Oh yeah, exactly. And interesting, you mentioned the amount of space. I would take it about 1 acre of kind of grassland would be enough for a small amount of for exercise, other than when you can take them out riding.
Well, yeah, you can. An acre is fine, but if you don't have it, the size of a good sized box stall would be fine. And then take them out and just walk them around daily, just like you would a dog or anything else, and just give them that exercise, and you'd be surprised how much that'll keep a horse in shape, sir.
Okay, well, very good. In any case, it's good to hear you on, and give our best regards to Bill, and we'll let you go there. Have a good evening.
All right, thank you very kindly. And folks, don't forget Bill's food items, and if you want a catalog, write me a surplus and stuff, $2, P.O. Box 3300, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. And anything that you want questions answered here at the Research Center, you can call during the day, Tuesday through Sunday, at 602-337-2562. And Pete will try and answer any questions for you that he can. And so you folks have a good weekend, have a safe weekend. And God bless all, and God save the Republic. And Katie, happy birthday, sweetheart.